Hello and welcome to the On Record podcast. I'm your host, Ujwala. In 2018, the village of Koregaon Bhima in Pune witnessed a violent New Year Day. Lakhs of people had marched to Jai Stambh to mark the 200th anniversary of the battle fought between the Britishers and the Peshwas. The British army comprised a large portion of Dalits who defeated the army of upper-class Peshwas in this battle. So the Dalits, who were oppressed for hundreds of years, see this as a victory over oppression. But on 1st January 2018, their celebration came to a violent end. Clashes erupted between right-wing Hindu groups and Dalit participants, in which one person died and hundreds were injured. In the following days, buses were torched, government buildings were attacked, and local train services were halted. And slowly, the violence spread across Maharashtra. In the initial investigation, the police named two Hindutva leaders, Sambhaji Bhide and Milind Ekbote. But after a few weeks, the police surprisingly dropped all the charges against them and linked the members of Elgar Parishad with the violence. Elgar Parishad was a program which was organized on 31st December 2017, a day before the violence erupted. Many activists and political leaders had participated in this event, which called for an end to communal politics in the country. The event saw many political speeches, some of which criticized Prime Minister Modi and the Bharatiya Janata Party, and also there were cultural programs. The police claimed the speeches given at the Elgar Parishad instigated the violence the following day. And the arrests began.
The evidence found traces back the involvement of Kabir Kalamansh and the arrested accused in mobilization of funds provided by banned outfit CPI Maoist in inciting the masses against administration from long before the Elgar Parishad was held.
Activists from various parts of the country were arrested by the police for their alleged connection with the Bhima Koregaon violence. According to the initial charge sheet filed by the Pune police, the arrested activists were part of the Elgar Parishad event, and police claim they had links with a banned organization called Communist Party of India Maoist.
The evidence conclusively points to the deliberate involvement and major role played by Varvara Rao, Arun Pereira, Vernon Gonsalves, Sudha Bharadwaj and Gautam Navalkar in the larger conspiracy hatched by the banned organization CPI Maoist.
The police further alleged that CPI Maoist had planned to assassinate Prime Minister Modi and destabilize democracy to wage a war against Indian citizens.
पुलिस ने पूरे देश में जो अर्बन नक्सल फ्रंट पर छापे मारे कुछ लोगों को अरेस्ट भी किया उसकी पूरी जानकारी पुलिस को मिली है.
This is Devendra Fadnavis, then Chief Minister of Maharashtra.
जिसमें एक कमांडर ने दूसरे उनके व्यक्ति को लिखा हुआ वो पत्र है जिसमें पूरा प्लान जिस प्रकार से श्री राजीव गांधी जी की हत्या हुई थी उसी प्रकार से उसी मॉड्यूल में मोदी जी की भी हत्या किस प्रकार से की जाए इस प्रकार के प्लान को उसमें शेयर किया गया है और ऐसी कई चीजें इसमें सामने आई है.
But critics of the government claim these charges are baseless. This particular case got a lot of attention in the country because all the accused have fought for the rights of minorities. But more importantly, they were all critics of the government and its policies.
This story that there was a network of conspirators spread all over India who were planning violence and who were also planning to assassinate the Prime Minister was drafted and it's still continuing. We don't know whether arrests have ended or not.
This is Apurva Nand. He's a professor at the Delhi University and also a columnist.
After that, another story was woven that the program itself was a conspiracy. The program was a conspiracy of Maoists, and they are spread all over India. And they were also planning assassination of the Prime Minister. So this story was woven.
The investigation of the Bhima Koregaon violence has led to the arrest of 16 activists so far in these last 3 years. All of them are charged under the Controversial Unlawful Activities Prevention Act, a law which intends to prevent activities that are a threat to the integrity and sovereignty of India, which is more of an anti-terrorism law. But in the last few years, UAPA has also become an instrument to curb the dissenting voices.
UAPA talks about imprisonment. There is a prima facie case against any person.
Harish Vasudevan is a lawyer practicing at the Kerala High Court.
In India now, the UAPA is widely being misused, and its use itself has become an abuse of power. Any person who is against the interest of the ruling party can be booked under UAPA is the current position in India.
Close to 4,000 people were arrested between 2016 and 2018 under UAPA. In the last 4 years, the number of cases registered under UAPA has increased every year. The provisions under this law is such that an individual can be kept in custody up to 90 days with bare minimum evidence, and officials can take up to 180 days to file a charge sheet. And the trial can go on for years together, which detains a person for a very long time even before he is proved guilty. The latest NCRB data shows that the conviction rate under UAPA was only 29.2% in 2019. Under this law, the central government has the power to designate an organization as terrorist if that organization promotes, prepares, or participates in terrorism. Additionally, an individual also can be designated as a terrorist if they find prima facie evidence that links an individual to a banned organization.
In UAPA, the statute prohibits bail if there is a prima facie case against the accused. The court cannot give bail. That's the law. If there is a prima facie case, the bail should be rejected. So bail is not a general rule under UAPA.
The activists arrested in connection with the Bhima Koregaon violence have not only been denied bail, but they have also been denied day-to-day essentials like spectacles, newspapers, and even straw and sippers. The latest arrest related to the case was of the 83-year-old tribal right activist Tan Swami. He was denied straw and sipper in the jail. He suffers from Parkinson's disease and he cannot hold a cup without spilling because of hand tremors. The family of the 68-year-old civil liberty activist Gautam Nablaka had to approach a lawyer to just give him a pair of spectacles without which he is almost blind. Human rights lawyer Surendra Gadling was denied temporary bail to attend his mother's funeral because he failed to provide his mother's death certificate. Varavara Rao, a 81-year-old poet and an activist, was denied proper medical treatment, and his family had to give a press conference for him to receive adequate medical attention in the jail.
Without punishment, you are punishing them. They are in jail, they are under trial, but even when they are waiting for their trial to begin, you are punishing them.
UAPA gives a lot of power to the governments over individuals arrested under this act. Democratic rights of individuals can be curbed at the interest of national security. But right to free speech, right to protest, right to express are essential for a healthy democracy.
The quality of democracy will increase only if there is a fundamental right to speak what you think. The freedom of expression is the key of democracy. It is not the election that determines the democracy. It is the democratic thought process and its expression and its sharing and its debate that creates democracy.
Thank you for listening to the On Record podcast. Our next episode will be out in a week. You can connect with us on Twitter @OnRecordPodcasts. We'll be back soon.